Your pastors, Don and Julia McDonnell, are absolutely fantastic humans. I appreciate they got honoured for their 50th wedding anniversary today. But I reckon that the clap you gave them was ordinary. I reckon you give them a decent clap and say, these are brilliant pastors. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your faith. These are brilliant, brilliant people, and we just so appreciate you open up your world and your church to us. It's been just fantastic. And I accidentally bumped into Don McDonnell. Because of the family I married into, the legend of Don McDonnell was larger than the size of his mustache. Larger. And so I was at a conference, and I got to the conference accidentally. I was in Adelaide, just hanging out with a mate, and I got a mate who feeds the hungry in Port Adelaide, and just does an epic, epic job. These guys are brilliant people, and my mate said, "Oh, my dad's running a conference, a pastor's conference, and the music team's just bailed. Dad's asking me to do it." I said, "Mate, let's go." He goes, "You're right to come along." I said, "Sure, I'll go along." So I went to this pastor's conference, and look, I just rocked up and I saw a couple of friends, and they went, "All right, take a seat. So I sit down accidentally next to this man. Accidentally. And you know that time in the message when they say, talk to the person beside you and say g'day? And I turned around and I said, "What's your name?" "Oh, my name's Don. I said, "You're Don from across the ditch." And he said, yes, I am. And I said, "You wouldn't have to be Don McDonnell." He goes, what are you, a prophet?" And I said, "Maybe I am, I don't know." And I said, who's this striking young man beside you?" "Oh, it's Jesse." And I said, "What's that?" And I said, "Because in our language, we'd call that Jesse. Like in a normal Australia, the way that normal people talk, it's just Jesse. Like the E is pronounced as an E, not an E." Anyway, so I said, "Oh, okay, sure." And then... And he said, I said, "I know a lot about you." And I said, "I was going to meet you one day, but today's the day." He said, "Well, how would I know you?" And I said, "Well, I married the Lorenz daughter. And on top of that, I'm friends with John Morgan." And he said, "Well, if you married the Lorenz daughter, you must be a good sort. You must be a godly man. And if you're friends with John Morgan, you must be of ill repute." I said, "You've got me in one. Right there, you've got me in one. These guys are fantastic, and you got to be blessed to be in Inspire Church. There's no better place to be than right here." And you're ready. Are you ready to go with the Word of God tonight? Fantastic. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 18. We are going to get right into it right here. Luke chapter 5, verse 18, there's a couple of fired up blokes. They've been off to church. They went off to the men's camp, and their red ute went off a jump, and then the chassis got bent up. And so they just went and got themselves a brand new Ford Ranger. Anyway, so what happened is we're reading here from verse something. Let me just pick it up. It's going to be in the Bible right here. And look, the good thing is, if you haven't got a Bible with you here at Inspire Church, don't worry, there'll be a Christian nearby. They'll have theirs. And they'll probably, because it's a generous church. You already heard about generous church. They'll probably give you their Bible, which if they're reading it on an Apple phone or something like that, you probably just scored. You probably scored. Verse 18, and if you don't have your Bible with you, it'll appear on the big novelty one behind me. "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into their house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof." That's audacious. "And they lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith," everyone say their faith. Come on, say it like you mean it, their faith. "He said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven you.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he asked, "My wife doesn't know what I'm thinking. She's always asking me, 'What are you thinking?' And I say, 'Nothing.'" You know why? Because either it's nothing, which no woman believes. You don't have a nothing box, but every man has a nothing box that he goes to think about. But occasionally he says nothing because it's so stupid that he thinks, "I'm not telling you." Jesus doesn't have to ask because he knows what they're thinking. And he says, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Can you imagine the Pharisees going, "What? How did you know?" "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and, come on, sing with me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thank you very much. Thank you. Come on, I deserve a better clap for that singing. Thank you. Everyone was amazed, gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we've seen a remarkable thing today. A couple of things I love about this. Number one is that a guy comes to Jesus because his mates got him there. Here's what I love is the fact that he couldn't get himself there. He had no way to get to the house where Jesus was. But some guys got busy. They had some initiative. They went, you know what? We know where the miracles happen and we know where the presence of God is. And what we're going to do is we're going to get something done. And they went and they got that guy. Here's what I also love. They as an ex-youth pastor, they destroyed part of the church building. Nothing better. And I used to be a youth pastor and I used to hate it when we got blamed for destroying things. Like I saw a mark in the wall over there. I was actually looking early and I thought, it's the youth. It's the youth. They've done it. Whenever you can find any destruction and people go, is it fair? Is it fair to blame the youth for the destruction in the church? And I said, I copped it for so many years. I don't care. I don't care if it's fair or not. I copped it. Now you can cop it. It's how it works. But they destroyed some of it. And this is what happens. I love this. Because these four guys, their main calling that got one guy into the house of God, gets him healed, gets him saved, their main calling was on the outside of the four walls of the church. You see, some people look at someone like Pastor Don McDonnell and go, well, because you'd be able to speak with a microphone in front of your face. Well, God moves with those people. Rubbish. Well, maybe he does, but it's not just those people. And so when Jesus sees their faith, everyone say their faith. He says to this guy, your sins are forgiven you. For Pete's sake, they don't even get in the building. They didn't even make it in. We don't know their name, so definitely they're not disciples. They are not of the 12. They're guys who came to church and their main calling was on the exterior. Now, we'll talk about the main calling on the exterior in a second, but what I love about these guys is they didn't have to ask directions of how to find the house where Jesus was. They were already invested. Main calling on the outside of the four walls of the church, but they made sure that they were there week in and week out. They were serving. And I don't know where that they were serving, but I know at Good Life Church, I love the people that run a business or in professional or they're in management or they're a tradie. And I tell you what, they are busy, busy people. And they rock up and they make the house feel like a home. They're serving all sorts of places. There's people on music teams. And, you know, I sit there and go, how the flip do they find the time? I know their business. I know the travel. I know the commitments. I know their family. How do they do it? Well, they're just like these four guys. They have a call of God on the outside the four walls of the church, but their heart knows where home is. And so they're like, you know what? I want to serve. I don't just want to be a consumer of goods and services at a church. I don't want to be a consumer of goods and services out of church. Now, if you're a family member in church, well, you're not a consumer, you're a contributor. I got three sons. Sam is 20. He's been married 6 months. And his wife is 6 months pregnant. That's right, one slipped through the keeper on their honeymoon. And so I'm 3 months off being a granddad. I'm not old enough to be a grand. I know what happened. Anyway, I'm a granddad already. And so then I've got, so Sam's 20 and he does aerospace engineering at the university. And our Air Force has picked him up with a scholarship and they pay him to do university. Not only do they pay his university, they pay him while doing university. I don't know if you guys understand this thing. It's called a national military. I know you guys don't have it over here, but that's all right. We'll take care of if anything happens. We've got your back. So, with great aerospace engineers. Anyway, so, no, it's all right. We're friends. I know you appreciate it. Then I've got Josh, who's 18, who I was always thinking, like, he's a bit of a rig, and I was hoping that he would turn out to be a tight head prop for the Wallabies because the Lord knows we need some decent rugby players in Australia, but that just hasn't happened, neither with my son nor the rugby players. So, and I've got Joel, who's 15 and lives to make an entrance. I've no idea why I started talking about my family, but it was good fun. Contributor, thank you kindly. Member of the family. I was going back to my notes, but you've helped me, Pastor Julia. Thank you kindly. Contributor, all of my kids, there's a part to play in the house. Don't expect pocket money for that. Don't expect me. Oh, wow. I actually said that recently. I came into my son's bedroom and I went, whoa, I did not know there was carpet here. There, I had no idea there was carpet on this floor. Like, I remembered carpet from years ago, and now there's carpet here. I haven't seen it in years. It's amazing. But stacking the dishwasher as a member of the family, we're not, you know, there's no pom-poms. There's no streamers. Not at all. If you're a member of the church, there's no pom-poms, no streamers. Don't wait for the pastor. Oh, wow, thank you so much. I know you're so busy. Oh, just, you know, thank you so much for coming to the house of the Lord. No. You're a member of the family or you're not? I'm not here looking for thanks. I'm here thankful that I get to serve. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. This is absolutely awesome. And I would suggest when you do that, it protects your heart. There's a bunch of rules we're going to talk through in a second. But there's rules in the way that God works with us when you serve Him. It's amazing how He gets involved in your stuff. It's amazing how He takes care of your stuff. And I tell you what though, some people, they pull back and it'll be in seasons of life where things are changing. Oh, I got engaged. Oh, I got married. Oh, I had a kid. Oh, I got a mortgage. Oh, I got another kid. Oh, there was a reno we had to do. And all of a sudden, those people that were passionate for the Lord, all of a sudden, where'd they go? And happens in changes of seasons in life. Empty nest, retirement. Because something's not screaming at you, but something else is screaming at you. And all of a sudden, it's easier to step back and we go from contributor in the house of God to consumer. Here's the problem with consumers in the West, is you know that consumers have rights. You buy that coffee this morning on the way to church and they burn it. What are you doing? Hands up those that would say, make me another one. You go back and you'd say, make me another one. I would never do that because if you'd burnt the first one, I'm not trusting you with the second one. I find there's two main options. There's the people that go, give me my money back. Hands up those that will say, give me my money back. This is a burnt coffee. There's not many people that do that. Hands up those people that go, I'm not going back to that cafe ever again. We know that's exactly what you think like. And how many people do the same thing with church? Pastor, I didn't love the worship today. Well, isn't it good we weren't worshiping you? Isn't it true though? That's how it works. But I tell you what, keeping a contributor mentality, staying a member of the family, is four guys that didn't even make it into the building. Could you imagine? They're like, man, you know what? We're working hard out here. We're bringing people to the house of the Lord. They don't even know my name. That dirty mongrel McDonnell, that dirt, oi, will I water? Oh, take a chill pill, princess. I love these guys because they're not pastors, they're unnamed. They're followers of Christ who are fishers of men. They've built a relationship. How do I know this? Because there's no way the guy would have said, yeah, I'll come with you to that place. There's already a relationship. These are people that are at church because they know where to find it, and then they've gone out. There's already a pre-existing relationship. There's a relationship that's built, which builds some trust. There's some example. Because how would the guy say, yeah, take me up on the roof? There's not a chance. Not a chance. You've been there through thick and thin, mate. I trust you in this situation. And then they've made an invitation. Could you imagine that invitation? Oh, g'day, mate. Yeah, g'day. His legs don't work. He's a paraplegic. His legs don't work. You know, the New King James Version says the guy's lame. That's what we call my 15-year-old when his jokes suck. You're lame, Joel. And he knows it. He's lame. But there's a relationship, there's example and invitation. But these guys had an attitude, whatever it takes. There was a problem. Yo, I'll solve it, as Vanilla Ice said. That was not enough people laughing at that fantastic joke. A quote from Vanilla Ice in 2024 was fantastic. Did anyone pick that up? Hands up if you picked that up. Back a brother. Come on. Help me out. Help me out. The rest of you, get back to some solid 80s music, please. If you were to serve God, I love this story because there's three types of people in this story that I want to focus on. Number one is the guy getting carried. Number two is the guy's doing the carrying. And number three, there's always a ringleader. I started getting carried. There's a girl at church. She invited me. She was a friend at school. She said, do you want to come to the church? And I said, darling, if you are going to church, I will also be in attendance. Yes. Little thing we call flirt to convert. I got done, hook, line and sinker. So I said, yes, I went to the church. About 4 weeks of me going, yeah, I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, this is on. We are following Jesus. This is awesome. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Are you kidding me? It's night and day. It's light and dark. We are a yes to Jesus. And I turned to the friend that brought me to church and I'm like, you, my friend, have to stop smoking drugs. How can you be doing that and invited me to church? Anyway, so she came back to Jesus at that point. The whole thought that I started lame. I couldn't get myself to church. Jesus loved me and I had no idea about it. Actually, I thought Jesus judged me for my sin. And I thought the Christians would. It's amazing in this situation that there was four guys that went, you know what, we've got to carry that guy. They must have banded together. There must have been a teamwork. There must have been trust. There must have been a ringleader. But I think no matter how long you've been a Christian, wouldn't it be a tragedy if we took for granted and forgot the fact that God found you in the mess that he did? You think you're looking good. You came with your Hosanna face on to worship tonight, looking all good, which is cool. But how far you've come. Look what God's done. You used to be a total screw-up. Now you're just a partial screw-up. You're on the way at least. Well done. Look how far you've come. That was a joke. Don't worry. That was a joke. But there's a tension when you start to realize I got carried. Someone got me. I didn't get here on my own. God loved me in the middle of my mess. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you what, if you're a Christian and you find the heart of God, if you pray, you want an encounter point with God, and if you don't find his heart for lost people, you've not found him. You have not found him. If you don't find God's heart for his kids that are lost, keep opening your heart and go, God, show me your heart for lost people. There's a city called Auckland that's going to hell, and he's called you and he's called me to be a part of the solution and a part of the answer. I don't want to take for granted that God found me in the mess and actually saved me from my sins and gave me a brand new start. But if you're going to serve God, if you're going to go from being a carried person to then being a carrier, well, there are some people that are more comfortable being carried. If you're more comfortable being carried, I want to let you know that 20% of the people in this story were carried. 80% of the people were carrying. If you're used to being carried, it's time to go on a journey where you talk to a connect group leader, an I group leader, a pastor or someone and say, how do I get from being carried all the time to being someone who can learn how to carry? Because maybe they've got the answers, but they're just too kind to actually tell you. Or maybe you're the rejectable, offendable type and they don't want to reject or offend. And it's time to say, how do I go from where I'm at to where I could be carrying someone into the house of God and being a great contributor member of the family here at Inspire Church? That's a good story right there. But if you're going to go from being carried to carrying, well, now I've got a tension. I'm serving God on the outside of the four walls of the church, and I'm serving God on the inside of the four walls of the church. And how am I going to do all of the things? There are some rules of actually working this tension out, of you doing something great on the outside of the four walls and inside the four walls of the church. Now, when I'm talking rules, when I'm talking laws, it's like the laws in my house around the use of the toilet seat, right? Or the law of gravity. Like, fight gravity all you like, but it's going to hurt when you hit the ground, right? So knock yourself out if you need to do that. But the law of the toilet seat in the Connaught house is that every male, however many seats get lifted, at the end of your business, both seats go down. Hands up, that's the law in your house. Well, there's a couple of Christians here. Fantastic. Good to meet you in Jesus' name. And we have just worked out it's not worth fighting with Mama over that one. She just told us that's how it goes. Now, I love it. I love the irony when we have to make sure the toilet seat is down or there's mess around the place, but then I go to the ensuite and all of the makeup is everywhere. Can't talk about that though, can I? Note that I mentioned that and she's not here. Or it's like the laws of biscuits. You know when you buy a packet of biscuits? There are certain laws when it comes to biscuits. And those laws are like this. Number one is when you open up the packet of biscuits thinking I want two biscuits and there's a broken biscuit, that one's free. The broken biscuit is free. You got that one for free. You were thinking two, you ended up with two and all sorts of crumbly bits, right? Here's another rule of the biscuit. If you open up a packet of biscuit to fit them into the Bicky barrel and there's three left, they're yours. Those three biscuits are yours. Here's the next rule of the biscuit barrel. If you eat a biscuit in church, the calories don't count. They're the rules of biscuits. Now, these rules, this tension of, I want to be a contributor, but yet I've got this stuff on the outside and the stuff on the inside of the four walls of the church. Here's some rules really, really quickly. Number one is the rule of connection. It means that the relationships that you build are the best relationships ever. Now, in any relationship, there's the risk and the reward of love. There's the risk and the reward of trust and openness. And I know a bunch of people that would say, well, I got hurt in church. I just want to let you know, if you haven't been hurt in church, you need to get out more. Like, I can just imagine, I got hurt in church. What, did like a bit of guttering fall off and land on your head? Like, what happened? There was a brick come off and, you know, you didn't get, church didn't hurt you. It was a human in the church that did something. But then again, you're not so perfect, are you? How many people have been hurt because you did something you didn't even know about? Well, let's not be silly about this. But there's not a better place on the planet to be hurt. Because you'll be loved while you're being a pork chop. And it's the greatest place to learn about forgiveness. We've been putting up with you for years. Some of you longer than others. I tell you what's the risk of any relationship is you can get hurt. But the relationships you build while serving God will be the greatest friendships, the greatest stories, the greatest adventures, the wins are shared, but so are the losses. There's difficult times in family. You can't gloss over it. Note that the Bible doesn't gloss over the difficult times because it's family. And expecting the church to be all perfect, it's just immature. It's the land of unicorns and Santa. Sorry, was that? Anyway, for some people, it was probably, yeah, I know, fairy tooth, tooth fairy. Let's get that right. The fairy tooth. That came out wrong. That was the opposite. It's the tooth fairy, not the fairy tooth. In 1996, I said to my young adults pastor, I want to work for you. And he said, I haven't got any money for you. And I said, I didn't ask for that. I said, I felt like God's called me to work for you. I said, when can I start? He said, yesterday. And I went, all right, let's go. I said, teach me. We'd had so much fun with the work of God, all the different things that we were doing. And it was so crazy successful. I went, you know what?
I'd done some teachers. I did a Bible college degree, and then I did teachers training. Did 6 months of that, and went, blow that. That doesn't sound like fun at all. So I just said to my youngest pastor, I'll work for you. And we just went for it. We just had so much fun, and we saw people come to Christ. And I went on that day from being someone who was carried into church to someone who learned how to carry. Because there was a ringleader, like in this story, that said, hey, 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 let's do something. In 1996, at the end of 1996, our senior pastor went on holidays to Noosa. So we're in Brisbane at the time. He went to Noosa in the middle of Schoolies Week. Everyone say, rookie era, right? And so he saw kids just blowing their brains out on all kinds of different stuff. It was a crazy wild party at Noosa. And so he's like, he comes back and he goes, oh, guys, we'd have some faith. Come on, young people, they're blowing up. We got to do something in Jesus' name. And we just went, yeah, sure. There was an environment of faith. There was an environment of let's try something. And the youth pastor, I was at that point by then, I was running the young adults ministry in my church. They were paying me a brass razoo. And there was people saying to me, that church, they're using you. And I said, yeah, I asked for that. Isn't it odd the people that say the church used me, but you asked for it? Isn't that right? Is that what you want? I signed up as an intern and they treated me like an intern. Yep. Yeah, that's how it works if you sign up like that. But isn't that how God grows you? This is the whole point. The youth pastor said, hey, come on, let's do something about it. Schoolies week, and it's all happening everywhere. Gold, let's start at the Gold Coast. And the youth pastor called me, the youngest pastor, and the guy who ran the community, the feeding program, and said, come on, let's do something. I said, what do you want to do? He said, well, there's a crazy party at the Gold Coast going on. I said, what do you want to do? He said, we should run tent crusades on the beach at the Gold Coast in the middle of Schoolies week. I said, you're an idiot, Simon. You are an idiot. He goes, what do you mean? I said, they'll tear the tent down. People will die. He said, all right. And then my mate Andy, he goes, what we should do is we should visit the kids in their units. And I said, Andy, you're an idiot. Why is that? I said, no one's going to let you in. He said, Dave, what have you got any ideas? I said, no, but I don't have any idiotic ideas. I walked in the room with two ringleaders and I was just a guy who said, yes, let's do it. That year in 1997, 17 of us went to the Gold Coast and started what's now known as Red Frogs. It first started by the name of WWJD at Schoolies because, yes, we were that cheesy. And we did walk homes for the kids to make sure they were home safe. We'd pull kids off the... what was happening is people were ending up in the sand dunes and ending up getting raped. So we would do patrols through the sand dunes. We would go, hey, can we get you home? These girls are like, yeah, can you get me home? People would end up in fights and we'd end up getting them to safety, or we'd get them get an ambulance for them. We would walk them home, and all of a sudden, the community that was looking at us going, this is crazy. Normally the Christians on the street just preaching at them. They're going, our incidence of date rapes are going down. The incidence of violence is going down. So the next year, we didn't have 17 of us. There was 56 of us. And it was a mission trip. We went, let's do something. And the next year, there was 120. On the third year, what we found, Andy, who wanted to go and knock on the doors, we're going, you're an idiot. The kids all was like, they were like, what are you doing? You got security? Seriously, we get access to all of the high rise, thousands of students, access to all these kids, just finished school this week. And we'd be knocking on the doors, like, what are you, security? Because nobody knew who we were. We're like, no, we're your hotel chaplains. And we worked out, if you give a lolly to kids, they let you into their apartment. Parents, you've been telling your kids for years, don't accept candy from strangers, they're not listening. Now Red Frogs has gone across the globe. Every single schoolies location in Australia and wherever Australians go across the world, we have Red Frogs. Every single university campus in Australia has Red Frogs. Every single festival, all of the Australian cricket matches, they have Red Frogs hydrating patrons, making sure they get home safe. I had members of my church, including my sons, who Red Frogged at the Taylor Swift concert, getting a better view of the concert than people paying thousands of dollars in Jesus' name. I nearly disowned my children when they went to Taylor Swift, and I said, you are not coming in the house while you're wearing that Taylor Swift t-shirt. There was a demonic exorcism on the front door. Kid was frothing. Anyway, I first came to church getting carried, and then there was a ringleader who said, hey, will you carry with us? 1997, I was there, made history. This is the largest harm minimization youth prevention strategy in Australia's history. The coolest people in the youth space in Australia are Christians. Why? Because three guys got in a room, two guys were the ringleaders, and I was like, okay, I'll carry. You go in church life from being carried to the privilege of being a carrier. The rules of God in regards to this is the rules of connection. Those friends are my best friends for life. We did stuff for God that we will be friends. You better believe Andy Goulet, Boss Frog and I, we lock horns on all kinds of different topics, but you better believe we are brothers. And I tell you what, someone pick up my brother and I'll take them down. That's what's going to happen. I'll kneecap you all if you take him down. The friendships that you build. I went to the Sunshine Coast, moved to the Sunshine Coast, and we started Red Frogs there. The people that we started, that right there, are my best mates and the godparents of my children. The rule of connection is that the relationships that you build are bigger than you could ever do any other way. The rule of provision is the second one. And that's the whole thought that if you step out and do something great for God, He is a provider. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You want to be a part of something great? I'm going to suggest sign up. Go to the I group. Sign up at Inspire Church to be a part of serving in some kind of way. Invite someone to come along and it will stir faith in Jesus' name. Don't be the person standing back. Because the law of connection is that there will be great relationships. The law of provision is that God will provide. It's like the laws of golf. I don't know if you've heard the laws of golf. There were two Scottish guys in a pub. They had to be drunk. If you think about the rules of golf, it's stupid. Because before then, all I knew was football. Two Scottish guys in a pub. Scottish guys in the pub. One goes, I've got my idea for a new game. What's your game? I'm going to call it golf. What is it? Oh, there's a ball. And I put it in a hole, like with football. No. Not a big ball. A wee tiny ball with little dimples on it. How are you going to get it down there? What we're going to do is we're going to get them to hit it with a stick like a snooker hole. No. Not with a snooker stick. What we're going to do is I have to swing it like that. It's going to be a bent stick to make it hard. Well, how far away is it going to be? Is it going to be within a couple of feet? No, so far away. You're going to make it easy then? No, there'll be all sorts of obstacles and trees and rocks and sand and water everywhere just to make it hard. And when everyone tries to hit the ball, they're going to be swinging like that. You think you're going to die. You're going to have a stroke. So we're going to call every time you do that, it's going to be called, we're having a stroke because you think you're going to die. But what we'll do is when we're right up there, we'll make a nice little bit of grass right up and a flag to give you hope. And guys, are you just going to do that once or twice? No, 18 times. There's laws to biscuits, there's laws to golf. And the last law that I want to walk you through here tonight is the law of expansion. These four guys, their life changed. These four guys, their life changed. When you go from being carried to carrying, and there's some people here tonight, and you've got to stop doing because you're called to lead. And you're not just called to do, you're called to help people do. I'm so glad for Simon Campbell and Andy Goulet that said, let's do something great. My life in Frogs expanded because someone else was the ringleader, and now I get to be the ringleader. Out of the four guys that led the one guy through the roof, which is a crazy deal, Jesus saw their faith. They don't even get in the building, and this guy gets healed and saved, his sins forgiven. That's a ridiculous deal. They don't even get in the meeting to join the worship. They didn't even get in there. But these guys' life expanded, and God will expand your life and expand your capacity. We started with Red Frog so long ago. Let me tell you what happened in the last couple of years. Last December, my 18-year-old, all he wanted to do for his 18th birthday was go red frogging on the Gold Coast with his old man. My kids, I didn't know when I first said yes to Jesus
that my kids would be so passionate about doing something for God so that one person, just one person, would say yes to Jesus. It's opened up their world and their relationships. And get this, my eldest son, who got married 6 months ago, met his wife while red frogging. Now, she wasn't drunk in the gutter. She was also volunteering. Not, I mean, she was drunk in the gutter. She's obviously come a long way. And this O week at the Newcastle University, I went for a day where we met a whole bunch of uni students. And I was there alongside Daisy Connett, my sweet little daughter-in-law. And I put my arms around her and I said, this is the coolest thing ever. And then realized, I'm not just red frogging with my daughter-in-law, but she's currently carrying my first grandchild. And all of a sudden, this big footy-playing Australian couldn't contain the tears. Going, God, you have expanded my world. I first just started as an insecure kid who said yes to Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus on the inside of the four walls of the church, when you say yes to Jesus on the outside of the four walls of the church, the law of connection, you better watch it, it's coming for you. The law of provision, you better watch it, it's coming for you. But the law of expansion, that will mess you up. That right there will mess you up. These four guys, they get listed in the scriptures. Because someone had the audacity to say, let's do something great. But if you're going to be a ringleader, if you're going to be a leader in the house of God, you've got to appreciate a couple of scriptures. Number one is from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. Let me read that again for those in the back seats. For we are God's handiwork, right? So we're God's handiwork. You okay with that? Created in Christ Jesus. You okay with that? Let's keep on going. To do good works. Oh, Pastor, it's too hard. I don't know if I can do all the things you're asking me to. I am created in Christ Jesus to do good works inside and outside the four walls of the church. These have been prepared in advance for us to do. One translation says that these are good works that we are predestined to do. There's a destiny in the works that he's got for you to do inside the four walls of the church. Please don't be a consumer of goods and services in Inspired Church. Please don't go there. God's got bigger for you. He has got good works which you are predestined to do. And it might be difficult, but it's always worth it because the law of connection, the law of provision, and the law of expansion is on your side. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 13 tells me what the pastors are meant to do, which in essentially looks like, make sure we do. Dirty mongrels making us work. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. The greatest thing your pastors have on their job description is to stop doing the work and make sure that you do it. Which in itself is quite a job. But if you get a hold of it, God, in every season, I'm going to be a part of the house of God. I don't want to be one of those people on the outside of the four walls of the church saying, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, how flippin' long does it last? And who's going to correct you when you're being an idiot? Because don't we all have seasons of doing that? Like we all do. How are you going to stay hot when the world's trying to pour cold water all over the fire of your life? It's knowing where the house of God is. These four guys knew how to get there. They didn't stop for GPS. There was no directions. There was no signpost. They just knew how to get there. And I'm going to suggest for every single person here today, the law of expansion, where you go from saying, God, I'm getting carried into the house of God. Then, God, I want to help start to carry the load. And there are some people here tonight, and what God's calling you to do is to stop carrying and to start to be the ringleader. You've got to believe that everyone's got their part to play.
to eyeball every individual and say, what's your part to play? You, my friend, have got good works that you're predestined to do. And if you say yes to Jesus, the law of expansion is coming for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I could tell you about my family tree and red frogs, but I could tell you that I started as insecure, messed up, screwed up. There's not a chance that this little black duck has any hope of being a decent husband nor father without the law of relationship connection, the law of provision, and the law of expansion. And I want to invite you in on the greatest adventure of your life. Come on, how about you close your eyes? You know what God's going to do? He's going to seal his word in your heart. Some people here today, you've been carried and not doing any carrying for far too long. Time to get off the mat. This guy gets up, takes his mat, and he gets at it. Come on, close your eyes. Someone here today, God's just knocking on the door of your heart. It's time to get carrying. You're more comfortable being carried. You're used to it. And there's actually people around you you've conditioned to do the carrying. You're not going to like it. It's going to feel awkward for a while. It could better the devil you know oftentimes. It's time to say, I want to serve. There's some people here today. You've been serving. You've been carrying. But God's calling you to actually be the ringleader. You're calling people to works of service. You're going to be cornering people, good people. And you're going to be thinking, what if they get offended? Well, here's the other question. What if they stay in the current state? You might have to risk some things to do it. But this is the result I know that if we do this, more people get to the house where Jesus is at. More people get their sins forgiven. More people get healing in their bodies. Because some people say, I'm going to serve inside the four walls of the church and I'm going to do what God calls me to do on the outside. Some leaders here. You'll be like armor bearers to Pastor Don and Julia. You'll be holding their hands up saying, how do you do it? Teach me how to do it. God's calling some carriers of vision to now be casters and connectors of vision. He's calling you to step up. In this season of the life of Inspire Church, there's some doers that are going to be delegators. There's some delegators that are learning to actually develop. Find someone who no one else would believe in, but you're going to see them turn into the great man or woman of God that they're called to be. Father, I declare today, Lord God, your grace over this house. Father, I thank you today for an encounter point with heaven where we are never the same and the fabric of this church is never the same and the future of Auckland is never the same. God, and wherever the soles of our feet would tread is never the same. Father, I thank you today for your grace, your power, your might. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, pour out your spirit, pour out your power, pour out your fire in the name of Jesus. Come on, Father, I thank you today for the activation, for the time of people to carry. God, the activation of the time of the people who are ready to be the ringleader. Father, I thank you today. You're activating people to say yes to good works that you've predestined us for. Your journey of growth and faith for our lives wrapped up in the middle of these things that you've got for us to do.